Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Are you ready, kids?
It's on. We're rolling.
We're rolling.
Hi, everybody. My name's Abby Murphy. What's your name?
My name's Ryan Luckett.
I just had a mental breakdown and cried.
It was just two tears.
It was like four. It was two in the inner corners and two in the outer
corners.
Abby
said, I don't want to cry because my ear stuff on my face is going to not curl up.
My ear stuff on my face?
Whatever.
Try eyelashes again. What do you think I actually said?
I don't want to cry because my eyelashes are curled and I don't want them to straighten up.
Good job. I said I curled my eyelashes and I don't want them to become straight. So basically the same thing. But today is not about me crying, although we'll tap into that. I'm having one of those days where I feel a little bit emotional about everything and feel like I am not good at anything and that I'm ugly.
Which is a lie.
And Ryan was very kind in speaking truth over me and just saying really kind things. Would you like to tap into what you were saying to me or no?
Just saying that she's very talented. She's beautiful.
No, not tighten me up, but like for any of the people out there who may
experience
a loved one coming to them.
I mean, just hearing them out and hearing what they're saying because their feelings are valid, but also recognizing that the feelings aren't true. And they're not the end-all be-all. And so you can maybe not get those feelings out right away, and that sadness might not leave, but you can start to at least speak truth over yourself. And, you know, when negative thoughts come in, you can throw those out and begin to speak to what is true. And what you're feeling might be valid, it's not necessarily the truth.
Yeah, that's really good. I struggle with just a lot of believing the lies, and I think that's just part of being a girl as well. Guys are wired differently in the way that they're more like stable, I guess, and less feelings driven. And females are motivated by their emotions, and so when we have good emotions, it's really good. When we have bad emotions, it's not. It's hard. It's the hard days. But Ryan's been really great in helping me through it. So thank you for that.
But we aren't sad anymore because we have such a special guest coming on today.
This is true. Would you like to introduce the name?
I'll do the first name. You do the last name.
Why, do you not remember his last name?
No, I know his last name.
Wait,
you do the first name and I'll do the last.
Let's say it together. Okay. One, two, three.
Caleb Ward.
Caleb with a K.
Caleb with a K.
K-A-L-E-B.
Excited to have him on.
I'm so excited. If you don't know who Caleb is, I was introduced to who Caleb was from the beginning, actually. I knew him from like day one because I'm an avid listener of Happy and Healthy Podcast with, at the time, Janine Amapola was the host. Now Janine Amapola Ward is the host. So if you're picking up what I'm putting down, she introduced him. They did. I actually know, since I listened to the podcast, he like comes on maybe twice a month or like half of the episodes per month.
You probably know exactly when he comes on.
I know when they started. They dated for like 11 months and then they got engaged.
Wow.
And then he's 25 and she's like 28.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe he's 24 or 25. I think he's your age. But I'm interested to talk to him about, you know, in their story when they they explain like their whole life. And I just want to hear like the ins and outs of like, what was it like being you know, a lot younger than your wife, when usually, like, stereotypically, the man is older.
Yeah.
And coming into also just, she has a whole platform and a whole house and a whole life, you know, and he, I don't know, just coming into that, I feel like I really want to dig into, like, who he is as a person.
I'm sure he had a life, too.
No, but I mean, like, a public life.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, a lot of people associate Caleb with Caleb and Janine.
It was,
like,
probably very unique going from, or going to meeting somebody that shares everything.
Exactly.
And is a public figure, is what you mean?
Right, that's what I'm saying. That, and, like, a lot of people know Janine and Caleb. I really want to know, like, Caleb.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know Caleb as Caleb.
Yeah.
And what really, like, initially drew me to reaching out to him was that he's marathon training, yeah, which I think is so cool.
That is cool.
And that, like, set off bells in my head. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's one of us. Like, yeah, let's go. Because he's also a very avid Christian. But aside from that, he's also in school. I think it's law. I'll ask him. But he's also in school. There's just a lot that I want to know about this man in a not weird way.
Yeah.
But he is publicly known for being the husband of Janine Amapola, for being a Christian, for being in the social media content creating atmosphere and world. And yeah, he's an awesome guy, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm super pumped to have him on. Let's bring him
did
on.
Did you know him before I introduced you to him, or was I the one that introduced you?
I did not. I knew a little bit of the Happy and Healthy podcast from listening to Becoming Something,
mm-hmm,
but, you know, I'd never really put anybody together. I just knew the podcast. I didn't really know the person or the people behind it.
Yeah.
So... yeah, so been following them along a lot closer since I've met you.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be awesome.
This is going to be great.
Let's get them on.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
You need to stop it for a second.
All right, everybody, welcome to the podcast, Caleb Ward. We are so excited to have you, Caleb. Thank you for joining us.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It's weird not having my wife with me. This is like one of my first ones by myself. So
I know. That's what we were talking about. We did like a little segment before, and we were talking about, like, you know, I know Caleb because I'm an avid Happy and Healthy podcast listener. Like, love it. I've been listening for so long, all the way dating back to, like, when you first got introduced. Okay. Yeah. So, like, I knew Janine before it was Janine and Caleb. But yeah, I was telling Ryan, I'm so excited that we get to know Caleb and Janine first, but right now we really just get to know Caleb, which is really cool. So I'm excited about that.
I'm pumped up.
Yeah.
Also, and is this your boyfriend to your left?
Yeah. I was just going to say, I feel like I haven't even really met you yet. So it's super dope to meet you, man. Really pumped for this conversation. Been seeing all the marathon content. So I'm excited to dive into that too.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's what I was talking about a little bit, was like, this is also our first time meeting each other ever. And I was like, Ryan, did you know him before, like, I introduced you to him? And he's like, nah, man, like, this is just what we know. And so
I was a nobody before Janine. So
no.
It's funny. People will stop me. They go, you're Janine's. It's not like you're good. It's like, you're Janine's. I'm like, yeah, I'm a dog, I guess. Janine's.
That's so funny. Okay. Well, that's the first question I kind of wanted to ask you a little bit, just jumping right into it, is, you know, I know a little bit of the story of how you and Janine met, of course, but if you want to dive into that a little bit, and specifically, like, what it was like going from not really having a public platform or even being in, like, the content creating atmosphere to what it is now.
Yeah.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Basically, I moved to Texas and was in my apartment by myself. It was New Year's Day, and Janine's picture popped up on my phone, and I was like, "But she's so beautiful." And but then I saw how many followers she had, and I was like, "Okay, I'm 20." I was 22 at the time, and I was like, "This girl's super interesting." And so I just went ahead and followed her, and I was just young and naive and thought, you know, maybe I would have a chance, because a month later she ends up moving to Dallas, and I shot her a couple of DMs, just like Christian cliche, just horrible. Like, if there's a playbook of like things not to DM a girl, like, I should write a book on that, because I messaged her and I was like, "Hey, I'm looking," like, I'm not joking. I was like, "I'm looking for a place to serve at a church. Do you have any recommendations?" It was something so stupid.
Dude, were you actually looking at places to serve, though?
No, I was already going to church.
If it meant going on a date with her, you were looking for a church to serve at.
I knew that she potentially, we had some mutual friends, and so I knew that she potentially went to the same church as me. So I was like, maybe she can figure something out, but she ends up responding. She doesn't remember responding to me, looking back, but she ends up responding. And some time went by, about a year and a half went by. I would see her randomly just on my runs, because we lived a mile from each other. We didn't even know it. And I would see her around our lake that we lived by. And then I would see her at coffee shops and stuff. And I randomly walked into a 4th of July party, and she was the first girl that I saw as I'm walking to this party. And she inquired about me, and she found out who I was. And then she was able to hit the DM button, see that there were all those messages prior. And so she started showing, she'll deny this, but she started showing up at the similar area where I lived to potentially bump into me. And she ended up working out, and I ended up seeing her randomly. I was walking into my community pool where I lived, and she was driving out, and I waved at her. And then I shot her another, like the seventh DM. I was like, it was one of those DMs, you know, you DM a girl and you throw your phone, 'cause you're just like, I'm so weird and annoying.
Yeah. Do you have practice doing this?
I've been single and in college. So yes, I do.
Yeah.
I can't lie. We're on a Christian podcast.
Yeah. I sent a DM to her. I was like, "I hope that was you that I just waved at." And she responded back and was like, "Don't be so shy next time." And then I was supposed to move to Florida 2 weeks later. So I was like, "Hey, I'm moving in 2 weeks, but I'd love to take you on a date." We went out. So she said, "Yes, we go on a date." I still moved to Florida. I quit my job 6 weeks later in Florida. I moved back to Texas to pursue her, and then we were married a year later.
Shoot.
Dude, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't know that part. Dang, that's crazy.
I'm 26, about to turn 26 now. I was 22 when I first DM'd her that stupid Christian line, and it's been 4 years since, and now we're almost married a year, and it's pretty crazy.
Wow.
That's incredible. What were you doing in Florida? Like, were you moving because of a job? What part of Florida?
So I worked in hospitality. I worked for Hilton. And so I managed a hotel here in Dallas. And then I was going to work through a corporate training property. It's called a Waldorf Astoria property in Orlando. And then so I was just going to keep working my way up and travel in different hotels and manage properties. And that was kind of what I was going to do.
Wow. And then what was it that like made the light switch when you were like, "No, I'm going back"? Like, it's Janine. Yeah.
I was at the airport. I was talking to my mom, and I was coming back to Dallas to just visit. And my mom was like, "What are you doing? Like, what are you, you love this girl. You know, yeah, she might think you're weird for moving back, but if she breaks," she literally goes, "If she breaks up with you because you moved back, then she didn't want to be with you anyway." And so I actually, because at this time, Janine and I are still pretty fresh. And so I come back to visit her, and she doesn't know I'm moving back, and we're just watching TV. And I'm like, "Hey, by the way, I'm moving back home." And I mean, I freaked her out pretty good because, you know, she was going to get time to figure out whether this was going to work or not. And because I decided to move back, it was like, "Okay, we got to figure this out."
Wow. That's intense. Okay. So then let me ask you this. And I mean this in like the kindest way possible. but stereotypically, like, at least, I mean, that's how it is for us. Like, Ryan fully has a career and is older, and sure. I'm coming in kind of the, like, I'm still in college. Yeah, I'm still in college. I thought you were saying unfortunately to me coming in. And no. I was like, whoa,
I miss college. I miss the easy days of college.
That's it's nice. But we have kind of a similar age gap, I think, because I'm 21 and he's 25. And you said you're 26 and Janine is
30.
30. Okay, yeah. So what is it like kind of coming in when, you know, she already has this huge platform, this career, the age difference? What was that like, and how did you navigate that, and are you still? It's a loaded question. So
it's a great question. I think it's the biggest question I get every day. It's Janine and I can't do anything with someone saying, what does Caleb do? And because my life before Janine was really private, it's like, it's weird to be in a place now where you're having to balance the nuances of social media and with even what we do and how I support her and how, you know, I help run the business and all the different minute things that people maybe don't see on the inside. And so there's a huge responsibility for men who are married to women who have these big platforms. And so my thought process was, you know, this is a big deal. And the Lord put it on my heart to go, okay, I want to steward this and help her steward what she's already built and also just support her in her dreams, her aspirations. And if I can, you know, lift her up on and make her even more, I want to say famous or anything, but just have more of an impact. Like, that's what I want to do. Now, I would say it would be a very big issue if I didn't have my own dreams and passions for what I want to do. So a lot of people don't know this, but I'm actually about to finish. When Janine and I met, I had no college credits whatsoever, and I'm going to be graduating probably in the next month. So when we met, I went back to school part-time, or pretty much full-time, plus helping her with everything. And so I'm about to graduate with a degree in political science and history, and hopefully go to law school is the goal. And so I think we have a good working system where we do work together, but I also have, you know, some things that I'm pursuing. As far as the age gap goes, like, we just don't feel it. It honestly feels like I'm the older one, she would say, from a lot of different levels. Like, I grew up in a small town of 500 people. I love watching the news and drinking coffee and just like like country music. I just feel like I was meant for, you know, the Western days. And so I just feel like we really coincide well with my skills and talents, but also with what she's doing.
Yeah. That's so nice. Wow.
Hope that answers your question.
No, it definitely does. And I mean, yeah, it's interesting to think that like people ask you that all the time and how we view the world so like stereotypically. And hearing you answer that is honestly, it's like, wow, this guy's awesome. So yeah, that's great.
It's only the Lord has to be at the center of your marriage. There can't be any pride. And so it's like, if my wife, like, I know a lot of men, or I've seen men whose their wife they're doing big things, and it's like they feel inferior, and I have a different perspective. I go, oh, like, that's who chose to be with me, and she's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, that makes that's looks good on me, you know.
That's humility too. Like, that is a great representation of humility. I think that's like really, really special. Mm. And like you said, I was going to say, like, right when you said that, I was like, wow, this guy has a lot of humility for that, because I feel like people would do that is, oh, I want my own thing and I want to be able to do this and almost maybe even compete in a way. But, you know, as you mean, you're trying to build her up, and that is leading in marriage. I feel like I'm sure Abby was going to talk about that, but or ask you about leading in marriage.
Take it away. You ask.
But that is, we can go right into it, is that your way of leading in the marriage, is really building her up in that? Like, what does that look like?
I think it's one, it's challenging each other to who we say that we are. And so from like the beginning, is before social media, before following, before any of that, is where our heart's at. If am I being a good husband? Am I showing up? Am I waking up and being proactive and not reactive? I think in the beginning part of marriage, I was reactive in the way that I was potentially leading. And being proactive of stewarding, again, the responsibilities that we have, the responsibilities that I have as a man to show up every day and getting in the word, getting in prayer, the things that I say that I'm going to do and actually doing it and fulfilling it, is something that has truly changed my life. And that's why running honestly was the catalyst for, I think, the beginning part of our marriage to where it is now, getting up every day, doing something that you do not want to do. Like after this, I have a long 8 or 10 mile run. I don't know how long I'm going to run and I don't want to do it. And in a lot of the same ways that I don't want to wake up and get in the word, I don't want to clean the kitchen because, you know, for some reason you don't want to do the things that your wife wants you to do, in marriage, because again, we're selfish. And so, yeah, I would just say to summarize, like do the things that you don't want to do and your life will be more blessed, I think.
Yeah, that's so good. I remember like us talking about similar things of, you know, me being like, oh, I just don't feel like reading my Bible today, or I don't feel like blah, blah, blah. And something that Ryan's taught me, even just in our conversations and dating. And I mean, now we're kind of talking about maybe a little bit more than dating. So that's exciting. Which I want to touch on that a little bit, but yeah, it's really nice to have that humble, like almost silent leadership of like, okay, your feelings are valid. Let's not base things on those feelings. Like you said, get up and do the run, put in the reps, put in the work, because that's what's going to produce something. And we can't just not do it because we don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Which is so good. But yeah, I wanted to touch on a little bit just the beginnings of navigating going from single solo man into now partnership and unity with someone, because we're very open about it, but we're going to get engaged soon and it's really exciting. So what would you say to us and to also any other listeners that may be in a similar stage of life and desiring that of, you know, I guess your best pieces of advice in navigating that kind of identity shift in a way. And
yeah,
just going from, you know, living solo, waiting, doing things on your own schedule to now built in slumber parties every single night.
The slumber party thing is real. Like don't like I'm much in the, you know, there's two marriage camps. There's one marriage camp that says marriage is hard. It's really hard. It's like, it's all they want to talk about. Marriage is hard. The second camp is no, marriage is amazing. And I think you've got to find yourself between the middle and marriage is amazing. Because it truly is. And you wake up every day, with your best friend, but it doesn't mean it doesn't take work. Like you said, the schedule thing, it's like, what's funny about your question, it's the exact argument we had 2 days ago. I told Janine on Monday of last week, I said, hey, I'm going to golf on Friday. Like I finished up all my work. I'm going to golf on Friday. I'm go golf with the boys. And so it was, she texted me back and she said, no, no problem at all. And I made sure to even message. I was like, is that okay? And so 4 days went by. She had forgotten that she said it was okay. And Friday comes along and she needed my help on something. And I was stuck between a rock and a hard place where I was like, the boys want me to golf. My wife needs me. And it was so difficult because she didn't remember saying yes. And I sat there and I was like, I was upset. I was like, Jay, I was like, we talked about this. And she goes, I know you're right. I did say that, but I need you to cancel, like, because I need you tomorrow. And, you know, that is where the single guy in you who's used to just being, you know, Mr. Independent, especially with the guys in your life where, you know, no guy wants to be the guy who's controlled by his wife or his girlfriend. That guy gets made fun of in a group text. But having a wife who is happy is much more, your life will be much more blessed than your bros who are happy. And so being able to make those decisions and putting down your pride, your guyhood. And I had to text my guys and be like, hey man, my wife needs me. I can't golf anymore. And I know it sounds such like a stupid thing, but those are the things that matter so much, because when you're out on that golf course for 4 or 5 hours, if I was, and my wife is shouldering the responsibility that she needed my help for, all because I wanted to do what I wanted to do, just build resentment, and it doesn't create a place where both parties, because eventually I will need her to step in and sacrifice. And so I guess one word is just sacrifice. Like, you have to be able to sacrifice.
Wow. I'm like, tie a bow on it right there. That was
really good.
I golfed yesterday. And it was amazing. I played the best golf of my entire life.
Come on.
And so it was like, God bless me.
What'd you shoot?
We played a scramble. So it was a 2-on-2 scramble, but we won by 6 strokes. And we played 2 guys who were much better than us. And so it was good.
That's awesome. Are you all in the Dallas area?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. I've never played golf in Texas, but I watch a lot of it. I watch a ton of golf YouTube, and a lot of those guys are down there. So
much golf YouTube. I'm telling you, Caleb, Ryan is like on cloud 9 right now, because I know nothing about sports, golf, none of it. So him being able to be on the podcast and talk with someone who also knows about golf.
We don't talk sports on this
podcast. Who's your favorite? Grant Horvat? Yeah.
Oh, on YouTube? Yeah, definitely. Grant Horvat. I watched Good for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I still watch them, but I definitely I'm leaning towards Grant and then the Brian Bros. I like watching them a lot too.
He's a godly guy.
Do what?
Grant Horvat is a very godly dude as well.
Yeah, I just saw he played a match I watched a couple of days ago with, I think the guy's name's Evan Thompson.
Yep.
And they both shared their faith on in a cart cam. And I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Can I expose you?
Yeah, let's go.
Ryan watches the golf videos while he sleeps.
Yeah, it's what I go to bed to.
Why you sleep? Are you that good of a golfer?
No, I'm not very. I'm okay. I'm not great, but I just, that's my I go to bed. I sleep with the TV on. I'm that guy, and golf YouTube is what I watch.
Mine is, I still listen to sports radio from Oklahoma.
Wow. And so
I'll turn on the podcast from the earlier radio segment, and I'll fall asleep to that.
That's great. So you just have that on while you guys are both going to bed?
I now have to put an AirPod in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's what you should start practicing, just to go ahead and put in the repetition.
You have to get a king size bed.
Okay.
That's the rule.
But here's my thinking, because I'm you're gonna obviously cuddle anyways. So why do you need all of that mattress space?
So you get hot. It gets so hot, especially during the summer. And it's cute the first month of marriage. It's so cute and it's amazing. But the king saved my life, because I get night terrors. So I wake up screaming twice a week. Yeah.
No kidding.
We haven't figured it out. It's actually an issue.
Oh my goodness. We'll be praying for you. That's scary.
Yeah. And what's worse is, it's so funny, actually. Anytime someone's prayed for me, and we should still keep praying, but my night terrors get worse. They don't get worse, but every time I've been prayed for, that night has been worse. So it's it feels like it's spiritual almost.
I was gonna say, I think most definitely is that.
It's the enemy's oh wait, no, don't, I'm gonna do this so that they stop praying for you almost.
Exactly.
That's what it sounds like. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, not to make light of a sad situation, but back to the bed thing, I was going to say a king size bed would be good, because then the dog can sleep in the bed.
I'm anti dog in the bed.
I'm pro dog in the bed.
No, you can't have a dog in the bed.
Nope.
Come on.
How big is the dog?
There is no dog. That's the thing.
Yeah, we don't. This is all just daydreaming. We don't live together or anything that. But we'll daydream about what our life will be like together. And we want a big Dalmatian, but they shed. So I'm gonna try to find a Dalmatian doodle or something that doesn't shed, but massive. And then it can sleep in the bed.
No,
I'll send you the link of our premarital counselor. They can work through this with y'all.
Yeah, because this might cause some fights for real.
I told Janine that we'll never own a cat, and that's been a tension point. I'm allergic, but she doesn't believe me that I'm allergic.
She's trying to test that out a little bit.
Yeah.
She's like, we'll adopt one for a couple months just to check.
Okay, so now I want to talk about something that when I heard you mention in one of the podcasts, I swear I'm not like a crazy obsessed fangirl. I just love listening to the podcast, but your running journey. I was, because we're both avid runners, love the marathon life, like have the bug, just love it.
Yeah.
How'd you get into running? Have you always ran? Have you always marathon trained? Yeah, just kind of how'd you get your start?
Yeah, I was just a strict basketball only kind of guy and lift weights, play basketball after, like that was it. Never did any really cardio. And then when I lived in New York City my freshman year of college, and I was intended to get a business degree from there. And one day I decided that I wanted to ride a skateboard, and I ended up that day dislocating my patella tendon and blowing out all the cartilage in my right knee. And so maybe I can, so you can see that basically my kneecap goes straight up. It's like there's no curvature to my kneecap, where the kneecap makes kind of a U, it's like straight. So the ball of my kneecap just like rests on that. And so I had to get kneecap realignment surgery, cartilage replacement. And so my patella tendon is more sensitive than a middle schooler. Like it's horrible. I still to this day on my right leg can't do more than maybe a 25 pound like leg lift on my right leg. And so the idea of running just would never make sense. My orthopedic surgeon, you know, said I would probably never run more than, you know, a couple, maybe laps. Like the idea of running just like would not be good for my knee. And, but nothing worked. The rehab, my quads and my glutes, nothing would activate it. So my knee just always hurt. And last year, New Year's Day, some of my friends were training for a marathon, and I've always been a big BPN Bear Performance Nutrition fan. And I've always like loved the hybrid lifestyle, these guys running and stuff, but I was always like, that could never be me. And I remember watching a lot of his YouTube videos, and during, you know, New Year's Day with all my friends, they were all talking about Nick Bear and how they're using his training plan, and they're going to go run the half marathon in a couple months from then. And they were like, Caleb, just come run with us. And so I decided to run 4 miles with them that day. I was wearing pickleball shoes. I wasn't even wearing like running shoes. I had pickleball shoes. That's all I had. And after that 4 miles, I was like, I'm going to run the half marathon. And just started running literally on my left leg because my right leg just like didn't work. But I would find myself in these runner's highs that I'd never experienced before. And it hurt so badly, but every other week it started to get a little better. And all of a sudden my knee kind of started feeling a little better. And all of a sudden my quad started activating a little bit. I was doing exercises. I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then I started dabbling in like the gels and the running shoes and immersed myself in this community. And then Janine and I started posting about it. And we actually ended up signing with BPN. We're actually sponsored with them and help promote their company. And so we work with BPN now, which is crazy. And then, so I ran the half marathon, and then I decided to run the full marathon in April and absolutely crushed the score that I thought, or the time that I was going to get. And yeah, just fallen in love. And now I'm about to run the full in December. And so.
Where's the full in December at?
Dallas.
Oh, awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
We're big BPN people as well. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
That's so, it's like probably full circle moment for you being able to like wear their stuff now too.
It's pretty crazy. But it's what's weird is it doesn't get easier. It's every run is hard. And that's the crazy and beautiful thing about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I love the unity that running brings, and that like everyone can do it. No, mm-hmm. And everyone's paces are going to be different, but yeah, just being able to like go out, you got something on your mind, like go for a jog, go for a run, like push, being able to push yourself in that way is beautiful. And something I've learned about running too is I found a lot of comparisons I can make with like Bible reading, because that's something I just struggle with, is staying diligent in the word and reading it every day and putting in the reps. But I like to compare it to like my running, you know, it's like, you got to go out and you got to do it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get that runner's high and you're going to feel those great feelings. And you're also going to get some really low lows, and you're not going to get something out of every single run. Just like, you may not feel this wrecked, like emotional awakening every time you open the word and open scripture, but the more you do it, the closer you're going to become to the Lord, the more you're going to build that relationship with him, the more you run, the better you are going to be, the more consistent you're going to be and confident you're going to be in what you put your energy into.
I wish everyone had like an experience of being in 12, 13 miles where your body's just depleted. And I've never done drugs before, like ever, never done psychedelics, never done weed, anything. But I imagine like that's maybe what it feels like, because it puts you in just this like pretty euphoric state where you don't know how your body's moving anymore. And like for me, genuinely, like when I was running the marathon, I turned to my buddy, we're at mile 23, and I was improving 20 seconds each mile at that pace. So I ran my first mile in 10 minutes and 54 seconds on the marathon. I ran my last mile in 7:26, I think. And so it just like increased more over time. And I look over and we're flying, and I'm like, dude, I feel like the Holy Spirit's like in my legs right now, and I don't know how we're moving. And it's like, it is so freaking cool.
Man, that's crazy that you say that. So at my first marathon I ran just about a year ago, I had, was it my right or my left IT band? I don't know. I like really just wrecked my IT band in one of my legs.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I can't remember.
I'm trying to picture the picture of you in the brace, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I have no idea. But I think it was my right. But anyways, doesn't matter. And I like the way my leg was feeling, I should not have been able to run more than like 2 miles. Like I literally couldn't even put pressure on it. And the night before the race, I was like, I mean, obviously I was going to go show up, but I was like, Lord, you carry me through it. And however much you want me to run, like, I'm just going to keep going until you stop me. And it was crazy because I made it through all 26 miles, which first of all, that was like, what the heck? Like that should not have happened.
What was your time?
It was 3:32.
What?
She's incredible, man.
That is insane. Your IT band hurt and you ran a 9:12?
I think it was like an 8. Well, awesome. 8 minutes is 3:30. So somewhere around there. But I also, it was my first one. So I didn't eat or drink anything the whole time. Like I didn't know how to fuel properly. So that was a whole thing in itself. And so my second marathon, I went way more prepared, which was nice. But but I remember for every marathon, I'll listen to worship music and I'll just pick one song and let Spotify shuffle. And around 13 miles, like my legs were just like rubber, but I was like, Lord, I feel like I am walking on water right now. Like, I feel like you are with me every step, like every single step. This is not me pushing myself in this race. And then the song Walk on Water came on in my headphones and I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And then it was like instant, like pre-workout. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah.
That feeling of like chills down your spine when you're on a run is euphoric.
Oh my gosh. It's insane. So I kind of want to dive into that too, of, you know, in your fit, you're so big in your fitness and so big in your faith. Where do those worlds come together for you?
Yeah. I think there's a common misconception with especially Christians who love athletic sports and also, you know, fitness, lifting weights, whatever it is, as people can sum that up as vanity. And I know people who've done that to me, and they'll make comments and make it seem like, you know, I care about vanity. When in return, it's for me personally, playing sports my whole life, and then all of a sudden it's over. I needed to find something where, you know, spiritually, like my heart would get ignited when I play basketball games, on the road to basketball games and listening to worship music, and the pressure that that created, you know, pressure equals diamonds kind of type faith. And when I graduated, it was like, I lost that like passion, lost that just like excitement for doing hard things. And, I found that through, you know, lifting weights and even running, because there's a level of reliance that you have to have on something. And for me, that's the Lord. And so I think when it gets unhealthy is in the beginning, I think I was more focused. Like if you look at my camera roll, when I first started working out, it was just a ton of progress photos. And, mm-hmm. and now, that's the bubble. And yeah. now like, I don't think I have taken a progress photo in over probably a year or so. And so I think that's when the shift happened where I was like, I don't care anymore of like necessarily like the aestheticness of it, but I do this because I know that if I go to the gym and I get the work in, my just day's better. I make the bed in the morning when I'm working out. Like I'm doing my school. I'm doing the things that I need to be getting done when those things are fine tuned in my life. And then also just like, I want to be a good father who can play with his kids. And so doing that, just staying active. And yeah, so that's what I would say to that, but it can be tough. It's challenging as believers to not overdo it as far as being worried about like what I look like and wanting to please men. And especially for guys, that's a huge thing. Like I don't think people talk about enough how guys really do struggle with body dysmorphia and appearance and comparison to other guys. And, you know, whether you're, you know, I'm 5'9", for instance, you know, 5'10" on a good day, potentially. But, you know, growing up, it sucked. I wanted to be 6'2", 6'3". And so I was like, I got to get big because I'm not tall. You know, that was the, you know, beginning stages of me lifting weights or working out.
Wow. That's so crazy that you say that, because literally right before this, I'll be really open and honest, which we kind of talked a little bit about this in the intro that we filmed before, but I literally was crying to Ryan because I was like, I feel so not confident in my body right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm in a journey of gaining weight, and just, you know, with all the miles that we're running, it's even more eating. So it just feels like you never stop. So to hear you say that is like the Lord is just here in the room for real, because
yeah,
that's such a great thing. But especially in men as well, like you said, it's not talked about nearly as much as it should. And it's almost in the media, like glamorized in a way, I feel like, just like not fueling yourself properly, overdoing it, mm-hmm. comparing yourself. And yeah, to bring light on that is so important for so many. And so I feel like a lot of people listening will be able to, you know, relate to you in that and be like, okay, like, all right, this guy sees me, he knows me, like he knows what I'm going through. So, you know, thank you for that as well. And bringing light to that.
Yeah. It's so good too. I think on social media too, it's so easy. Like we've talked about this before, but you only see people posting like their really, really hard work. And over and over again, if you see that, you can start to compare yourself and think, well, man, I don't need a rest day, or I don't need to take time off from this. And you can really quickly make it an idol versus, you know, like the Lord told us, like physical training is of some value, but spiritual training, I'm not going to quote the rest of the verse because I'm going to botch it.
But spiritual training is better, basically.
Yeah. But important. I think the reason he tells us that is, you know, it is great. But to make an idol of it is whenever it doesn't become great. So you make this good thing and you continue to pursue that over the Lord, mm-hmm. then it becomes, you know, an idol. And you're not only doing it for the wrong reasons, but you're kind of choosing it over God, essentially.
Mm.
Yeah. People don't realize that when you're, especially you pointed this out, like when you're running, you're eating so much food to fuel. And same thing. I started gaining weight in my marathon training. I'm used to being at a certain body fat percentage, and it freaking took me back to like, I was like, what the heck? And because you're going on these runs, burning 1,000 calories, and you think you have all this extra food you can eat. And it's a lot easier to eat the calories than to burn it. And yeah, it can really get into an unhealthy perspective. I think a lot of runners probably struggle with eating disorders, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. I am in that place right now of like, how is my body looking worse since I've, you know, like, how do
it's
I
not
feel?
Working worse.
I don't believe you. You got a chiseled jawline and everything.
It's not looking worse.
No, I think but I mean,
fine probably.
You might be able to relate to this though, because I don't lift as much anymore. I don't go to the gym as much anymore because I'm in a really heavy marathon training. And like you said, your body starts to change. Well, and maybe like other people don't notice it as much, but you notice it and you're like, you get into your head so much about it. It's like, I'm working so hard. And then you step back and you're like, okay, this is not what this is about. Mm. You know what I mean? And I'm in that place right now. And we've kind of talked about it because both of us were training for the ultra. And it's like, I'm running so many miles. Why am I feeling like I'm like gaining weight right now?
How many miles are you guys running? 50 or 100?
Well, so it's this one's a unique ultra. It's the BG Hot Rods ultra. So
it's
the
in
hot
our hometown.
Yeah, it's in our hometown. The Hot Rods are I don't know.
They're
local.
They're a single A affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. So you run it inside the stadium, like around the park. It's a 0.33 mile loop. It's like a concrete around the field.
And you go for 24 hours as much as you can.
That sounds horrible.
That's what I thought too. But he did it last year in a relay and I like came and watched and supported. And it was the coolest thing ever. You feel like you're in an alternate
universe.
It's
a lot cooler than like, it does sound awful, but it's really cool because for one, it's for a Curbside Ministries. It's a ministry in Bowling Green. And we've talked about this.
It's like it's everyone from our church. They work it.
Mm-hmm. And like there's a ton of sponsors and stuff out. And I don't
know. BPN's a sponsor, actually.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're this way or not, but I kind of get adrenaline and motivation off of like seeing people I know while I'm running. It's just kind of weird like that, but
and it's nice because people can come in and out since it's just that tiny little loop.
Mm-hmm. So but you get like all of the outfield to kind of be by yourself, and then once you hit like third base all the way over to first base into the, like the right field foul pole, like there's just a bunch of people, especially people that you know, so you kind of get like a little motivation while you're running. It's funny. Mm-hmm.
I had a friend who was supposed to run 100 miles through a trail in, I think, Houston, and it got canceled the day before.
What?
And so they relocated it to a church, or one of the head guys of the thing was like, hey, I'm going to still do the ultra, but we're going to run it around the church. So imagine they basically were in a constant turn the entire 100 miles. Took him, I think, 24, 25 hours.
Wow.
So he's never not turning. So he's like running on his right foot like the entire
time. See, that's how it is for us, except they switch every hour, I think.
Man.
So I don't know. But that's crazy. They did it at a church.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't it so funny to see the levels to, I think, running? Like for me, like running the marathon, I have some friends who are like, I could never do that. And I'm like, yes, you could. And then now I'm talking to you guys running, you know, hundreds of miles or whatever. And now I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like, I would never think about that.
You're going to do it though. I know.
You're going
to
do it.
Just from talking to you, I don't know how long we've
come
been
to Bowling
this,
Green.
You're going to run. You're going to run an ultra. I can see it already.
Yeah. Maybe 50, but 100. Man.
You know what's crazy is this is my second ultra and I've yet to do an actual marathon.
Yeah.
No.
I know.
He's crazy. And the last ultra, he did it in like 2-year-old shoes that had holes in them. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I should have. It was probably not the smartest. I got asked like a month before and not even kidding, like a couple days prior to the ultra, I thought it was just, I was on a team of four and I thought we just ran to get to 26 miles and that was it. I was like, okay, we can get that, you know? And then I realized, and I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm getting myself into. And I didn't get hurt or anything, thankfully.
How many did you run?
I ended up running just a little over 48.
He's crazy. He's crazy. And he doesn't think he's a runner. He still doesn't call himself a runner.
Did you run track or anything in high school?
No. So I played baseball and basketball in high school, and then I played college baseball. So I never really ran a ton of long distance because baseball, I was a pitcher. And, you know, like, it's kind of frowned upon to run long distance as a pitcher. It's not really good for you. More of like short distances, like spurts. So I didn't really start running long distance until, honestly, I ran a little bit before I met Abby. And then
she's like you were trying to impress her. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. She's up at 5 a.m. every morning. She's like, she wouldn't even like tell me. She, like, I'd have to like pry it out of her and be like, oh, how's your day been? Whatever. Good, good. Like, oh, what'd you do? Oh, went on a run. And I'd be like, oh, how long did you run? She'd be like, oh, I had 12 this morning. And I was just like, huh? And it was just every morning.
It's so funny. It's like, dude could have just got his girl flowers, but instead he ran 48 miles to impress
her. If he wanted to, he would. Come on. Okay. Well, so I wanted to ask you enough about us. Now back to you. I wanted to ask a little bit around, like, kind of going back to how we were talking about food and stuff. A couple of times I remember you mentioning something about like having some sort of health problems or something where you had to navigate like eating and that kind of world. And that's something I've been very open about with my digestive stuff and problems on the podcast as well. And people actually like surprisingly find it pretty interesting. So I feel like if you feel comfortable to kind of dive into, you know, your history with that and kind of what you've learned in your journey and navigating health.
I think the first time I talked about it was actually like with Nick Bear on when they came on our podcast. And he was opening about his eating disorder. And I think we all just like started sharing. I thought it would be something I kind of took to the grave because it was kind of embarrassing. But it's like vulnerability, just like, it's like freedom. And so now it's like crazy to see how many people actually do struggle with this. But when I was, I think a junior, senior in high school, I started to kind of get real restrictive with my diet and have these long cut cycles and restricted food. And then it would create binge eating occasionally, which I wasn't full blown bulimic by any means, but it was an occasional, you know, throw up after, you know, a binge eat, you know, and maybe I did that once every couple months, or there would be a couple of days in a row here or there where I would do that. And I would never say at the time I had an eating disorder. Like I would probably even, you know, make comments about other people having one, cause I never thought that was me. That was until my gut just shut down. Like I couldn't digest food anymore. Couldn't use the restroom. Honestly, it just was, you know, it's TMI, but constipation was my middle name for over 2 years, to a point to where the only thing that would work was laxatives. And then laxatives would create they're really hard on your mental health and your gut and your brain health chemistry. And so that put me in just like not a depression standpoint, but just like a real, like just tough time, I think. And over time just started rebuilding my gut, and it's been a couple of years, and I have some weeks and months that are good, and I have some weeks and months that are really, really bad and tough. Like, to be fully transparent, before my marathon, I hadn't used the restroom for 3 straight days. Because you're carbing up so much, my stomach just wasn't used to what was happening. So I actually had to use a suppository before my marathon because I hadn't used the restroom in so many days. And I literally couldn't run because my stomach was hurting so bad. And so I needed to use the restroom. And so, but that's, again, so bad for you using stuff like that. It's a Band-Aid. And so I'm still on that journey, but I'm actually working with the nutritionist right now to figure out and game plan and tally what I'm eating and trying to figure out, because it affects so many things. And so I'm trying to get away from artificial processed proteins, foods, Splenda, sucralose, just all those types of things. And but to get healthy, you have to get better the same way you got sick.
Yeah. So, man, you have no idea how similar.
I was literally thinking, this is Abby. It's crazy.
Our stories are. Really? We are. It's everything you said. Literally everything you said. I have experienced to a T. Yeah. And not to make like your situation mine. No. I mean, obviously we're very different. But yeah, I mean, literally, I had a whole constipation like journey. Yeah. I was in the hospital. Actually, I had 3 enemas and nothing was working. Like, it was insane.
We have literally, I'm sorry, I'm trying to turn my sound off.
Oh, you're fine.
My email keeps popping up. That's, yeah, It's I the same exact situation with the enemas, like,
yeah.
So what did you do to fix it?
I'm kind of like you. I had to still up and down a lot. There would be, like you said, like I would have some weeks where I was like, okay, I feel good. And then I'd have like an awful weekend. And so there was one point where I was like, I guess I just have to keep running. Cause I would only feel good if I was in a deficit. Yeah. And so I came to a point because I also have had a very long history with eating disorders, which is obviously why I am suffering now. And I came to a point where I think mine was a little more mental in the fact of like, this is what makes me comfortable is being in this deficit because I know I won't be uncomfortable even if I'm not using the restroom and even if I am having a lack of a period and even if I am, you know, this being empty is comfortable for me. And I had to come to a point where it was like, but it's not good for you. It's not good just because it's what you kind of like in your faith, like just because it may be what you want doesn't mean it's what you need to do. And once that mental shift was made, I started treating eating as training, just as I treated running as training. Yep. So getting very consistent on like non-negotiable meal times and whole foods, like Greek yogurt is so good, like prebiotics and probiotics and whole foods, natural things. I don't have any processed things really that I can stay away from. Almost like whole foods, carnivore kind of diet, but nothing too restrictive. I mean, I'll go to a wedding and eat a piece of cake and be fine.
Yeah, we eat crumble every
year. Yeah, but I think sticking to that like whole foods, what they would eat like in the Bible type of diet and eating whether I feel like it or not has helped me so much. Like I haven't not used the restroom consistently in so long. The only discomfort I have now is just, I'm gaining weight and it's good and also hard.
Yeah. My biggest issue is I have comfort foods like Chick-fil-A and whey protein and, quick fix proteins that, you know, can help me hit my count for muscle building or whatever. And I know it's bad for me. Like, I know it, this is going to hurt my stomach, but it's so funny. Like it's like a dog to his vomit. Just you keep going back and you're like, why do I keep doing this? Like, I know this isn't good for me. And then psychologically I would go through this like, oh, I can just use a laxative later this week if this really hurts my stomach. It's the same thing. You got to pull back those layers and go, okay, because going to the whole foods, it actually hurts your stomach doing the healthy way for the first month or two. And it's horrible and you're bloated and you don't think this is ever going to get better. And eventually it does. But it's a lot of people deal with this. And I thought I was the only one.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, and I think especially for men, like women, now in the media, we more so talk about it, but men do not talk about it at all. I mean, I can't say that I'm not a man, but from what I've seen, it's only females putting out
stuff like this. Like before I met Abby, that world was foreign to me. And even since we started podcasting together, people have went back to your eating disorder episode. And like, that's by far the most comments we get, the most DMs we get is like, thank you so much for sharing about that. Because I
male and female.
Yeah. Like both. Oh yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. And it's like a completely new world to me. And it's like, wow, like a lot of people deal with that and it's super serious and I've got to see it. And it's like affected you. And
the most recent podcast, I asked Ryan if he'd ever had a bad body image day and he didn't know what that was. Like he didn't know what a bad body image day was. And so I explained it to him and he was like, oh yeah, of course. But he just like, wasn't aware that that's, you know, the terms we use and that kind of thing. And
100%. What would you say is one thing has worked the most for your stomach to where you have, you're going to the bathroom consistently, everything like, what would you say that one thing has helped the most?
like food wise or mentality wise?
Food wise, maybe a supplement, maybe a something that triggers something.
Honestly, dairy, really? Which I always thought I could not do dairy. Like I was like, what can I cut out? What can I cut out? Like, let's not do dairy. Let's not do gluten. Let's see, mm-hmm. let's see, blah, 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 blah. Like I have a lot of kefir or kefir or however you say it. Whole fat Greek yogurt, cottage cheese. Like I'm down in that stuff. And it's really high in protein, which is really good for like
yeah.
the Greek yogurt we have. It's like 100 calories, it's 18 great. Grams of protein. Like
you put fruit in it?
I put honey and I put fruit.
I have to put fruit in that because I'm used to the processed yogurt. Like protein yogurt. And
yeah.
It doesn't taste as good, but if you put some blueberries or grapes in it, which I know grapes is kind of, I get mixed reviews. Like, why are you putting grapes in it? I love grapes. Yeah.
But yeah, I would say dairy, which I was not something, I was honestly scared of it for a while.
Yeah. Same. It scares me thinking about.
But I think the thing is like, I associate, like you were talking about those, like the Chick-fil-A meal or your comfort meals. I started associating the foods that I was eating with a feeling that it gave me to where then like, say I had that Chick-fil-A comfort meal, I would start training my brain to be like, when you see that, think about how your body feels after.
That's good.
And then it started to not become appealing.
Hmm.
And I don't even realize like I really did that until kind of verbalizing it now. But yeah, like when thinking about, you know, oh, this helps me feel fueled, or this helps me feel good before a workout, I'm going to have a carb heavy meal, or this helps me feel good after workout, I'm going to have a protein rich meal, and just kind of associating and navigating my body pre-meal, post-meal, how does this make me feel? And really kind of documenting it, honestly, if I ever need to look back on it. And now I'm at a place where I don't really have to track and document, but in that healing journey, that was something that like saved me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, I feel good. Like this is our podcast and you're asking us questions.
I got to learn too.
I wanted to tap a little bit into, at the beginning of the podcast, you mentioned, you know, you got like some advice from your mom and all of that. You seem like a family guy. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about you just growing up and being in the family. Were you raised a Christian? Have you kind of come into your faith on your own?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, real quick, Caleb.
Yeah.
You said Oklahoma, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw on your Instagram whenever we were about to hop on here. Are you a Thunder fan?
Massive.
It's a good time to be a Thunder fan, huh? It's
an amazing time to be a Thunder fan. Yeah. No, yeah. I am. I bleed Oklahoma through and through. I grew up again, like in the middle of nowhere, population 500 school that probably graduated with a class of, I didn't graduate at this specific school, but you know, 50 kids, maybe one gas station, grew up on 80 acres. Wow. So I was a city country boy. Cause my dad's an attorney. And so he worked in the city. And so we would drive 45 minutes to Oklahoma City, you know, practically every other day or definitely every weekend. And so I definitely got the best of both worlds, like the city, but also like really, really country aspect of things. And yeah, I grew up in the faith. Basically all my aunts, uncles, my mom were praise and worship leaders growing up. I don't know if you're familiar with Daystar. It's an old like kind of TBN network Christian show on cable. Back in the day, my church in Oklahoma City, my uncle was the praise and worship leader. It was like pre-Hillsong days, and it was the it church back in the day. And yeah, I got to see the toxic sides of church culture and just weird stuff going on with that. And definitely my faith didn't become my own until definitely the end of high school. And then when I moved to New York, I got involved with actually Hillsong in New York. And that transformed a lot of my life. And then I ended up moving to Australia actually to do Hillsong College there for a semester. And then I left. And then that brings me into this new side of where I'm at with my faith post, like, you could say church hurt or just a guy who's seen a lot of things behind the scenes growing up in mega church culture, to where I am now, where I'm a lot more, I don't know, I don't want to say like reform, but just don't, you know, like a lot of where the church is headed in certain areas. And so, but yeah, I would not be where I'm at today if it wasn't for my family. Like we still, they're still so, my parents are, or my grandparents are pastors of a church in Okemah, Oklahoma. And they've been pastoring the church of probably 25 to 30 people for the last almost 30, 40 years. It's in one of the poorest areas in Oklahoma. And they just serve the community ever since they were, I think, 35 or 40 years old. And now they're almost 80 and they're still pastoring the church there. And so I have such a massive home base of just believers and family members who love the Lord more than anybody else that I know.
What great role models to look at. Yeah. Somebody serving a community like that for that long.
Yeah. I mean, it's the exact opposite of a lot of the things I learned at, you know, and this isn't, there's a lot of amazing people of Hillsong and a lot of, they've done a lot of amazing things, but one thing they would say often is the sign of a prosperous church and a blessed church is a growing church. And I just don't think that's true. It's like my grandparents have been faithful to a church for, you know, 30, 40 years and it's never grown, but they've been faithful and it's never been about them. And they've never had a TV channel. They've never had a social media, but they are shepherds and they're stewarding. Yeah. Stewarding. There we go. I just had like a stroke or something. But yeah, my grandparents are amazing.
Wow.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's incredible. Did you ever struggle with having so many different Christian influences and like kind of going through very different extremes throughout your life?
Yeah, like the I don't know what to believe was like rang true in my brain. Prosperity movement, you know, Southern Baptist, this, that, like so many different influences has been very hard, but I've had to realize at the end of the day, like my relationship with Jesus, my relationship with my wife, those are the two things that I get to serve. And yeah, I think church and community is important, but I definitely put that at the top of repping the church and not actually my faith. And now I think it's the exact opposite, where now I let my faith, you know, I respond to that and live that out true now, instead of just trying to show up and serve the most so people think I'm, you know, a good, faithful servant.
Yeah.
Wow, man, that's a word.
Yeah.
I think I needed to hear that today.
That's so good. Caleb, you're so wise and just so awesome. And
you guys are awesome too.
It was so great to get to know you. I want to end with one thing though that has been lingering in the back of my brain. Okay. That I have to ask. I know we're supposed to be done right now, but I want to know a day in the life of Caleb Ward, an average day in the life.
Yeah, that's really good. Okay, so I wake up, I would say 7:30, 7:45, 7:30. Legit, probably this is kind of stopped in the last 2 weeks because Janine is trying not to drink coffee first thing in the morning, but literally make Janine a coffee. And I make myself a coffee. And so get that ready for her. She goes off to her workout class. And then right now it's kind of changing because of trying to finish my degree and then prep for LSATs. I will do school here for the first hour, 2 hours of the day. And then when Janine gets back from her workout class, we just make sure we check off all of our lists. Like, okay, is the podcast done for the week? She posts at 12 usually every day. I help her with like the creative side of the, you know, some of the Instagram posts, like if it's a funny video or if it's, you know, a caption she needs help with. And so helping her in that probably 10 to 12 window, and, or filming with her, if we have an idea where we film that. So once we get the creative checked off, then usually I'll go work out and get a lift in or something. And then I'll come back around 12 or one, and then basically doing school from 1 to 4. And then I'll start my run around 5 or 6 right now, get back, and then we will usually get dinner and then kind of plan for the next day of like, okay, hey, we have to post XYZ, because we have a good amount of reoccurring, you know, brands that we work with that we have to facilitate deliverables. So it's a lot as far as just like your deliverables that you have to meet with companies you're working with, plus your just creative side of things you're doing that are just organic. And so, but some days are super random, but that's more or less like kind of what my day looks like.
Wow. I feel honored that we were in the hour break before the run.
Let's go. Yeah.
I needed this because I genuinely probably wasn't going to run today, but now I'm going to get it in.
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to get it in too. I got some miles to log. So.
Oh, I forgot you haven't done your run, have you?
No, I haven't.
I want to say something real quick. You too. Like I've never, like this is very, I don't do stuff like this. And so as far as outside without having Janine. And so it genuinely felt like I was just talking to two friends that, you know, that I've known forever. And so if you guys are ever in Dallas, me and Janine would love to treat you guys to dinner. We'll do something. It'd be really fun.
Man, that'd be so that'd be cool. Blast, that's dude. Like,
where do you guys live?
So cool. Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Okay. That's right.
Yep. Okay. So we're in the South.
We're in the South.
Except you're in the deeper South.
We're a deeper South. But I feel like Kentucky's more South though.
Yeah. It's so cool how too, like running can bring believers together. Like we were talking about like, how does faith and fitness come together? But it's like, everything's a ministry. Like running is a ministry.
Yeah, this podcast,
like, us talking, I feel closer to the Lord because of talking to you. And so, man, well,
now I can't quit.
I know.
I literally had a thought last night using the restroom at 2 a.m. I literally was like, I don't know if I want to run anymore. Like, I feel like I have those like once every 4 months where I'm like,
oh yeah,
I just don't
so
know.
So real.
But now,
and those never stop either. They don't.
Yeah, well,
Caleb, we love you. Thank you so much for this again. Like, this was so awesome. You're awesome. I can't thank you enough. Seriously.
Thank you for having me and wish you guys nothing but the best. And also, if he's going to be proposing soon, you got to stop asking questions. Let him just, let him surprise you.
There we go. Thank you, Caleb.
Let him surprise you. No more questions.
No, dude, literally my dad the other day, he was like, so I hear someone's gonna come talk to me soon. I just want to talk to you about that a little bit. So I had the conversation with my dad too. So
that's funny. This is a hard time to be a man. This is the hardest, most stressful part. You got it.
I'm hearing that. Yeah, yeah, I think so too.
Also, I just realized I hadn't had my wedding ring on this whole time, but I am married.
Oh man, he is married.
Caleb's married.
Caleb is married, everybody. If anyone didn't know, yeah. Caleb is married. Yeah. Well, thanks, dude.
Thanks, dude.
You're awesome.
Appreciate it, guys.